This is Juan Aguirreno from the Kerry Group. A special welcome to you. We're going to do several sessions together. This is the first of those sessions, and we really want to focus on climate impact and how the food industry is really going to be able to contribute to this whole discussion on climate change. Because really, as you said, I think in earlier conversations, the food industry has a very special role to play. You're an expert in this field. Let's hear a bit from you, how you feel about this topic.
Yeah, it's a very timely topic. And you're right in saying that the food industry has a big role to play here. There are a number of studies that have been published, one recently, that depending on the studies, agri-food industry contributes anything from 25 to 33% of total greenhouse gases. So as an industry, definitely a big impact, a big responsibility to improve. The good thing is that the industry is moving and committing, a number of reasons for that. As an example, you can see two large corporations like McDonald's or Mars have announced that they will commit to science-based targets to zero carbon by 2050 and with absolute reductions in their carbon footprints by 2030. And so a lot of companies, they're committing to what is called 1.5 degrees science-based targets. That is a coalition of companies that agree to follow scientifically based goal setting towards limiting the temperature increase to 1.5 degrees as per the famous Paris agreements. And this is calculated the same way that it's calculated at country level. You can calculate that at the company level globally. And it's externally validated. So it's not something that you announce and you can say your targets are, you can self-declare that. You have to have that validated by the Science-Based Target Alliance, who is organized by several very prestigious NGO. So that is good news that more companies are signing up to these. We in Kerry are one of the companies that have signed up to science-based targets. And that puts an ambition out there, and it's a great way to mobilize a company. Interesting thing about these targets is not only your own targets internally, what is called scope one, it's the fuels that you consume, for instance, to run your factories, or scope two, which is the electricity you purchase from the grids to run your equipment, electrical equipment, but it also includes scope three. Scope three, for instance, is all the carbon that is embedded in the raw materials that you purchase. So automatically, when you sign up, you are involving all your supply chain, all your suppliers, all the way to the farm. This is very particularly important because if you look at where the majority of the climate impact of the food industry happens, is at the agricultural level. Nowadays, our agriculture is particularly intensive and uses a lot of energy and fertilizers, etc. We also have a very large livestock industry that emits methane directly or indirectly in the case of cows or pigs. And so the source of that is happening at the farm. So when corporations are in the middle producing fast-moving consumer goods like Mars or QSRs like McDonald's or companies like Kerry in ingredients, we buy ingredients that we convert in several steps and then we sell them to retailers that sell them to consumers. It's a very long chain, right? We all have a responsibility here to look at how can we transform company goals, commit to reduce 30%, 50% at the company level and at the value chain level. How do you land that on the day-to-day at the product level? And why is that important? Well, for a number of reasons. First, consumers want to consume more sustainably. Half of the consumers nowadays are interested to have an impact in the way they consume. And it used to be something that they would like to have, nice to have, but today they proactively search and they actively want to learn what is in the products they buy. And carbon is one of the elements they're looking at. So an example of that, Oatly is oat milk, and they have a prominent logo on the package which talks about the amount of carbon per liter for that beverage. That is a fantastic selling argument for consumers, and Oatly has been doing very, very well as they have listed out there. A lot of the value in the company is environmental impact that oat has versus milk.
Indeed.
And it's been very interesting to watch the dynamics of the industry, how this carbon is now becoming the next competitive aspect of the value proposition. We're not talking about price, quality, taste anymore. We are still talking about that, but we're also talking environmental impact, in this case, carbon.
I think Oatly have done a wonderful marketing job, too, in bringing that to the fore. It's helped the evaluation, of course, as you say. But of course, it's one thing to do a great marketing job in all of this and to announce what you're going to do, as so many companies have done. It's another thing altogether to do something about it.
Exactly. And so the new consumer will not take greenwashing or labeling or marketing. You need to back these with data. You need to be able to use a number of sophisticated methodologies that will be guaranteeing that what you're putting on the pack is backed by data, life cycle assessment type that will be able to track the carbon and be able to convert that using some standards and methodology at the product level. Because you need to take the oats, it's processed several times, and then it eventually becomes a beverage. You need to look at all the steps there.
Well, and then, of course, how you pack it as well.
How you pack it,
the cost of getting it to market, the efficiency of transportation, supply chain logistics, and so on. No?
Exactly. And all these steps add to the carbon equation, and you have to be able to calculate all that. It gets a little bit technical, but the industry is working fast with a number of external partners there to help us first do LCAs who are much more precise. And the more you do, the more you add to the common knowledge. So everybody is basically raising the quality of the knowledge there. And so what's important here is progress versus perfection. It's very, very difficult to say what's absolutely sustainable. What you can say is that this new alternative is more sustainable than the past, relatively speaking, because it uses less carbon, less water, has less impact on deforestation, has a better usage of land, and has a higher nutritional value. It's the integration of nutritional science with environmental science that turns it more sustainable, but you have to have the data that proves that you're improving and have that validated and verified sometimes by external parties that will guarantee that you're using the right methodology. And you don't have that on the pack. The beauty today is that you can have a QR code and then you get on the web, and then the consumer is really interesting, will get the whole story about that. So leading brands, and I don't want to only call out Oatly, you can have leading brands like Impossible Burgers too, the plant-based burger, did the same thing. It used to be the exception 3, 4, 5 years ago. It's becoming quite common nowadays, to the point that there are emerging scores that are appearing on the packs. So we had the UK traffic light that would measure sugar, salt, fat, trans fat, saturated fat. You would have NutriScore that would measure other these and other values, things from a nutritional point of view. You start having things like EcoScore or carbon footprint logos, which are being launched by organizations and being adopted by retailers quite quickly already. So the EcoScore has been adopted by retailers. My memory doesn't betray me here. Lidl in Germany and in Europe, maybe Colruyt, etc. So, and in France, a number of retailers have adopted that.
It sounds like what you're referring to is very similar to the electricity consumption coding that we get on every electrical appliance these days to show the efficiency and the consumption value of all electrical devices. Do you think there will be EU standardization? That's here's your eco score. EU standards, you know, whatever the traffic light system is and what it means.
Yeah, if you look at the EU Green Deal and within that, the farm to fork declaration by the Commission, there is definitely a number of chapters around responsible consumption where the declaration of intent is to set a standard that will help create a level playing field for everybody. For the time being, they are individual organizations trying to establish a winning standard. And it will be measuring carbon and other things. It's going to be measuring other types of impacts. But I think the consumer will drive a faster adoption because their behavior is to buy more of the products that provide the right type of benefits, nutritional, environmental, social, also nowadays. So can these be quantified? Maybe, but we'll see. So I think generally my answer is yes, we will definitely have a lot more rhythm and dynamism and ambition for brands to communicate with science-backed data, good methodologies, the impact that they're having from farm to fork. Right?
And it sounds like to me that Kerry and other people in your business will become also then sources of information for going downstream into the food producers and the retailers. And also your knowledge base will increase dramatically in the field of carbon going back all the way to the farm, I would imagine.
Yeah, it does turn into doing good for the planet. It also becomes an opportunity to do well for a company and do well for the consumer. Mm-hmm. So it does become a competitive advantage. I'll give you a couple of examples of things we've done in Kerry. So we started by analyzing our portfolio according to nutritional profiling methodology, which is inspired or similar to the UK traffic light system, but adapted to ingredients. The UK traffic light system is one of the best because it's very stringent. You have to look at the content for sugar, salt, fat, trans fat, and saturated fat. And depending on the threshold of limits that are defined by nutritionists, your product is either red, yellow, or green. But if you're passing a threshold in one of the five categories, you're red. So it's very penalizing. It's not like if you're very good in one sugar and you're very bad in salt, you take the average. No, you're really penalized and you go to red if one of the categories is bad. So we applied that to our ingredients. And how did we do that? Well, you basically take the ingredients, you take standard formulations. You say, if you use our ingredients in standard formulation, you get these products and then they will be green, yellow, or red. So we did that and 80% of our portfolio contributes to either green, positive nutrition, or yellow, balanced nutrition. We even calculated how many millions of consumers we reach through the business we have with our customers. And it's 1 billion people that we reach with positive and balanced nutrition already today. And then we set our goal for ourselves that we want to reach 2 billion people by 2030. Once we did that, we said, okay, this works as a methodology. We're going to do the same for carbon now. So, more nutrition or positive nutrition with less carbon. So that's sustainable nutrition. Because what you want to do is really the challenge the industry has is providing more nutrition or better nutrition for 6 billion today, 10 billion tomorrow, but with one planet instead of two or three. And so you do that, you land these big corporate goals at the product level.
Right.
So for carbon, it's a lot more complicated. So we started doing LCAs for critical raw materials and critical ingredients that we have. And then you calculate that, and then you land that into a carbon calculator. So I give you one example. We have a sugar replacement solution. It's called TasteSense. What we've done is we can replace in beverages, typically, we can diminish the sugar 30%. And you can taste the difference. By replacing sugar, every kilo of sugar you are
reducing,
avoiding 1,200 liters of water and half a kilo of CO2. So by replacing every kilo of sugar with this natural flavor, you can then have an impact not only on 30% less sugar, less calories, very important in the context of so many kids, but you're also doing at the same time, you reduce CO2 and you reduce water. Again, an integrated solution for sustainable nutrition on how you land a corporate commitment to reduce carbon and how you help your customers reduce their carbon footprint.
So I'm not asking you to speak for the industry as a whole here, but if I talk to a number of other major players in your field, would I find them doing very similar things, do you think?
I think it's starting. We're one of the leading company in ingredients. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen maybe a couple of competitors coming out with LCAs and carbon calculations. And what I described to you here was a little bit more sophisticated. It's not only reducing electricity or what you do in your own factory, but it's in use. You calculate for your customer how much you are helping them to save carbon in their in use. So we've published a brewing calculator where by using our technologies in brewing, you can help people reduce the cost of the beer first. And by doing that, they can also reduce up to 40% the CO2 per liter of beer. To create beer, you use a lot of energy, a lot of grain. You're left with what is called spent grain. And so that if you can minimize the amount of energy, the amount of water, and the amount of spent grain in the process, you usually have a win-win-win. You have less cost, you have less CO2, and you have a lot less water. Yeah. So you become to start applying first, reduce, and then reuse. You start applying the principles of circular economy, which is, again, brings us back to carbon. Sometimes you reduce carbon directly through the energy, but sometimes you reduce it through the fact that you have less waste.
Indeed, and that brings us very well on to our second topic, which we'll cover in our next conversation, which is a whole subject of food waste. And also, of course, the role that the farmers and animal husbandry plays in all of this. And I think we're going to have some fun discussing the fact that the answer is not veganism to everything. And I very much look forward to that next discussion, Juan. I want to thank you very much for this particularly enlightening discussion. And I look forward to seeing you on the next one.
Thank you. Always a pleasure to discuss with you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Juan. Thank you.